Yeah, I already want to get a pen or a piece of crayon and see what I can draw on that Lego face. And I'm not very good at, but having an outline would be helpful, I'm sure. The version that I'm using, the New Living Translation, calls God's creation through Christ in us a masterpiece. I wonder what you think about when you think of that word masterpiece. And actually, Andrew and I didn't collaborate too well. You know, I responded to a couple of emails, and but in the end, I come up with the thought. So there's some things that we look at in nature, and we're going, oh my goodness. And especially now as we think about that, you know, the new satellite with the, you know, the camera, and it's getting out further and further out into the galaxies, and we're going, my goodness, the expanse is just, well, it's unfathomable. God's masterpiece is at work in the heavenlies. Or you might be, my colleague Tim, yesterday I was speaking with him this morning, he says, oh, Joe, we went up to such and such a hut, and we had afternoon tea up there, my son and I. And for him, just getting out there on the tramp and getting up there into a hut, and, you know, and I said, well, how'd you get home? All right. He said, yeah, they were a bit worried, and the creeks had got up because it was raining. And, you know, sometimes you get into those difficult spaces, it doesn't feel like a masterpiece. But when you're at peace and when you're up there and you're in that space, you just look around, you know, because nature, you can smell it. You can touch it, you can sense it, and God often speaks to us in those beautiful spaces. We even can go to this one and we think about, you know, sort of artwork and icons and all those things that we see wonderfully creative people put together. And we think, oh my goodness, you know, that's a masterpiece, whether it was Moaning Lisa or whether it was, you know, also there I think you're going to find some of the you know, some of the statues of David, and if you get a chance to walk around some of those great museums, you see some actually magnificent art and some people who with time and with that creative influence and flair have done some wonderful work. One of the reasons I wanted to look at this one as well, because you see, if we look at our passage today, that you are God's masterpiece. Now, often we don't feel like God's masterpiece. Maybe it's after a Cat Stevens concert at the Bowl and you didn't really feel like a masterpiece while, you know, those people were falling all over you, you know, there at the, you know, on the green. Or you may not feel like it when the kids come to visit and you're getting a bit frustrated because for whatever reason they're either raiding the pantry, raiding the fridge, or, you know, burning up the, you know, your data on the internet or whatever it might be. You know, oftentimes in our humanity, we don't feel like God's masterpiece. But the reality of it is that in Christ Jesus, we've all been touched with the divine. We've all been and begun being created anew in him. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we see these kids, these young ones growing up in under our feet, and we see them in church and, oh, the little rat bags, or they're the first into the morning tea, or, you know, they take all the best cakes without and leave us with the dry biscuits. And there can be lots of, and we watch these kids grow up and we say, they get to an adult age and they get to start serving God. And we still have this question in our mind. We're, you know, what's God doing to change them? What, you know, we see them in their humanity and we often forget the divine is going on at the same time. But I want to just share a few thoughts around our passage today. That in that first verse, we have been united with Christ. And that he's raised us up from the dead. Now, that's the salvation story. We know this, and as good Baptist people, we're going to agree with that. I don't have to explain that any further. But there is this future place of we are in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. At the moment, we're still trudging through this human effort here. But God has done this work not only in the future, he's done this work and is doing this work in you and in me right now as we grow. so God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible greatness, incredible wealth of his grace and kindness. Andrew touched on it before about choosing us and calling us. And actually, it is by choice. And we know those words, it's not by our own choice. Salvation is not a reward of the good things we've done. We're saved by grace. We can't take any credit for it. But let's go back to that verse 7, to the incredible wealth of his grace and his goodness. You see, he looked at us when we were raiding the pantry. He looked at us when we were getting fallen over at the bowl and we were getting frustrated, and whether it be anger and frustration, but the humanity come out. He looked at us and still said, I love you and I want you to be my child. And in Christ, I'm going to start making some changes. I'm going to touch you in Christ and bring about a great reward. Because, I don't know if I got a pointer there. No. He wants in futures, and he wants to show us as examples. Now for Lou, that's an example, being around the wit, being around those tertiary students, being around all their questions, being around all their spaces of what happened over the weekend, but also what's impacting their study workload. For myself and other chaplains in all their areas, being examples is exactly what we're doing. There's another verse I love about chaplaincy, and I use it quite regularly, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. It talks about being the fragrance or the aroma of Christ in the world or in the space where we are. And so here, right on these beautiful salvation verses that we have in Ephesians, he's choosing us that we may be examples of what? Of the gospel, and examples of his son. Because we are touched with Jesus, we are being changed into his likeness, and we are showing him in the society we live in. All the promises of the Son are given to you and I, his descendants. We read that in those verses. And I think if you understand your theology, you know that we are joint heirs with Christ. We're called in, we're touched with Christ. Our DNA is spliced. We're grafted in to this journey of faith. And all the promises that are given to the Son, all the promises are given to us. Yes, I will admit, even in my journey, we sometimes see the divine through a veil. You know, you can read all those verses, whether it be about Moses, whether it be Paul writing them, and we sometimes struggle in our humanity to peer through the veil, to get a glimpse of what God's doing in his kingdom come on earth around you and I. And the promises he wants to give us, that the Son may get the glory here in the work that he gets us to do. Now, I can't put myself in your space. I can't put myself into your family or into your workplace or into your ministry space. But I want you to see that work, life, and everything is ministry. You carry the Son with you in every space of who you are, because he has spliced himself in, grafted himself in to you, that in Christ Jesus you may be an example of him and of God's goodness and kindness and grace in the society. You know, so often we meet people up in the hospital and say, oh, the work you do is so good. Well, half the time we don't know the work we do. We don't get feedback. And so you don't know what you do. And yet by God's grace, we get it there every day that we can, and we give of ourselves, we give Christ, we're the incarnate presence of Christ in the work that we do. And it's not just chaplains, and that's what I want to say. It's not just about us. It's about you. It's about us as the church. It's about us who we are in Christ, carrying him into our everyday life. You see, discipleship is transformation taking place every day. Well, I don't get every day a good day at the hospital. Joe Gray, what the patient sees may not be the day I'm walking to work trying to get myself in the right headspace. We're doing renovations at home. And Michelle, my darling, you know, we've got painting and sanding, jib stopping and all that. And she's got the carpet ordered. And it's like, you know, you've got to get all that stuff done before the carpet comes down. And we're on a deadline. And well, the deadline fell over because of other reasons. But I was getting, the deadline was putting me, and I was getting very frustrated. And it was coming out in our relationship. And we talked about it. And, you know, for the third time now, we've had the carpet delayed from getting laid. But you know, what I'm really trying to say is that each of us still carry our humanity. At the same time, we're an example, and we're given to be examples. Got to keep moving. You see, salvation and the gospel are an expression of the revelation of God's eternal grace. I'm not quite sure if I mention it, but there was a time where my old fiancée that I met in the hospital, and she was a patient, and I had it was a catastrophe. I'd broken off the engagement, and you know, the poor girl was absolutely devastated, and I was the heel, I was the bad guy. But by God's grace and goodness, I met her in the hospital, we talked. And she said to me, "Joe, you know, so different now, you know. What's taken place?" And it gave me an opportunity to share my testimony, but also share the gospel and share the expression of his goodness and grace to me. It brought peace to us in our relationship, and I'm thankful for that. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity. The salvation and grace gospel are an expression of the revelation of God's eternal grace. You know those verses that we read earlier? None of us deserve it. None of us have earned it. It's by God's choice that he is creating in you and I a masterpiece. And this gospel expression, and this is where I say, is actually about servanthood. If we look at the life of Jesus, we look about his servant nature. We read that in Philippians 2. We read that many of the gospel writers will talk about his servant nature, how he served the people that he encountered, how he served the families, how he served his disciples. And then right there on the last night almost, there in the Lord's Supper, he was there washing their feet. His servant nature is that expression of the gospel, and that's what he's calling us into, a life of servanthood, that we serve the society, we serve the community, we serve the family, we serve the people, we serve the church. We lay aside our own preferences to serve in this way. We're uniquely shaped to serve. What does that look like? Well, for me, I'm a plumber and gas fitter by trade. So very practical. So things like governance and, you know, all those things do my head in, absolutely. That's not how I'm wired. And so I let that go and let someone else who is better wired that way to serve in that capacity. Servanthood is about actually laying yourself down and saying, "This is who I am. This is who God has made. I am," and I, you know, I even struggle to say it myself, but I am God's masterpiece in the making, and that my shape, so that's my personality, that's my spiritual gifting, that's my experience, that's my abilities, and that's also my psychological makeup, is actually fitted into this place. And so for me, chaplaincy, I'm in the right place at the right time in this season. But that's not where I started. But God's Spirit has transformed the work and the gifting and the work that is going on in my life. And he's doing the same for you. So don't beat yourself up. Give yourself a break and just stop and actually have that chance to stop and say, "So God, who am I in you? And what is it you would have me to do, to serve, to bring you as an expression of the gospel and of his grace in our society? Uniquely positioned by the Spirit, in closing, where are you uniquely positioned by his Spirit? For me, I'm in the hospital, but I'm also in a social network. Whether that be with connecting with people, you know, on the walkway, or connecting people in at Tukapa Rugby Club, or, you know, down the Fitzroy Surf Club. We had our Jubilee last weekend, and, you know, down there connecting with people. So where are you connecting? Where are you uniquely positioned by the Spirit? It's not just in your workplace. Because God wants us all to be the right person, the right people, at the right place in his time, that he may bring that expression of the gospel, the good news, into our community, into our society. I think we're done. Amen.